The Honorable, the Chief Justice, and the Associate Justices of the Supreme Court of the United States. Oyez, 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 all persons having business before the Honorable, the Supreme Court of the United States, are admonished to draw near and give their attention, for the court is now sitting. God save the United States and this honorable court.
Justice Thomas has the opinion of the court this morning in case 23-825, Delegati versus United States.
This case comes to us on a writ of certiorari to the United States Court of Appeals for the Second Circuit. Section 924C of Title 18 subjects any person who uses a firearm during or in relation to a crime of violence to a 5-year mandatory minimum sentence. As relevant here, a crime of violence is defined as any crime that necessarily involves the use, attempted use, or threatened use of physical force. Salvatore Delegati was charged with violating 924C after he recruited members of a gang to kill a suspected police informant. His indictment identified attempted murder under New York law as a predicate crime of violence. Delegati moved to dismiss the charge, arguing that attempted murder is not a crime of violence. He explained that murder can be committed under New York law by omission of a legal duty, and he contended that in such cases, the offender does not use force. The district court rejected that argument, and the Second Circuit affirmed. In an opinion filed with the clerk today, we also affirm. It is impossible to deliberately cause bodily injury or death, whether by act or omission, without using physical force within the meaning of Section 924C. As we held in Castleman versus United States, an offender uses force whenever he makes force his instrument, regardless of whether he applies force directly or indirectly. For these reasons and others set forth in our opinion today, we affirm the judgment of the Second Circuit. Justice Gorsuch has filed a dissenting opinion in which Justice Jackson joins.
I have the opinion of the court this morning in case 23-1095, Thompson versus United States. Patrick Thompson took out 3 loans totaling $219,000 from the same bank. The bank later failed, and the Federal Deposit Insurance Corporation, or FDIC, became responsible for collecting the outstanding loans. The FDIC sent Thompson a bill for $269,000, made up of the original $219,000 plus interest. Thompson called the FDIC. During that phone call, Thompson said that he had borrowed $110,000 from the bank. The government charged Thompson with violating 18 U.S.C. Section 1014, which criminalizes making any false statement to the FDIC. According to the government, Thompson falsely stated that he borrowed $110,000 when he had actually borrowed $219,000. But Thompson responded that his statement was actually true because he did take out a loan for $110,000, just as he said. He simply neglected to mention that he had also taken out 2 other loans. The Seventh Circuit Court of Appeals held that it did not need to consider that argument because it read Section 1014's ban on false statements to cover misleading statements as well, and Thompson's statements were at least misleading. We granted review to determine whether Section 1014 criminalizes statements that are misleading but not false. We hold today that it does not. Section 1014 criminalizes, quote, any false statement, end quote. False and misleading are 2 different things because not every misleading statement is a false one. Say a doctor tells a prospective patient, I've done 100 of these surgeries, when 99 of those patients died on the table. The statement is not false, but it is misleading because it would lead most people to think the surgeries were successful. Given that not every misleading statement is false, it is important that Section 1014 uses only the word false. After all, many other statutes in the United States Criminal Code use the phrase false or misleading, showing that when Congress wanted to include both these types of statements, it knew how to do so. We therefore conclude that, regardless of whether a statement is misleading, the proper question according to the text of the statute is whether the statement is false. The judgment of the Court of Appeals for the Seventh Circuit is vacated, and the case is remanded for further proceedings consistent with this opinion. The opinion of the Court is unanimous. Justice Alito has filed a concurring opinion, and Justice Jackson has also filed a concurring opinion. Mr. Clerk, the Court will entertain motions for admission to the bar of the Court.
Dennis Chong.
Mr. Chong?
Mr. Chief Justice, and may it please the Court, I move the admission of Martin Rudolph Shaw of the Bar of the District of Columbia. I am satisfied he possesses the necessary qualifications.
Your motion is granted, and Mr. Shaw will be admitted.
Dwight Sullivan.
Mr. Sullivan.
Mr. Chief Justice, and may it please the Court, I move the admission of William Jacob Hess III of the Bar of the State of Maryland. I am satisfied he possesses the necessary qualifications.
Your motion is granted, and Mr. Hess will be admitted.
A group of attorneys from the Judge Advocate General's Legal Center and School, presented by Brigadier General Terry Arisman.
General Arisman.
Mr. Chief Justice, and may it please the Court, I move the admission of the following attorneys. Alabama, Major Andrew Stephen Lindsay. From California, Daniel Charles Brown, Major Duncan Leland Roberts. From the District of Columbia, Major Jane Catherine Riddle, Major Derek Anthony Zotto. From the State of Florida, Captain Mary Catherine Burney, Major Aaron Ernest Brown, Major Chelsea Maxwell Buckholz, Major Suzanne Joyce Dykus, Major Katie Lynn Johnson. From the State of Georgia, Major Liam Patrick Spence. From Illinois, Major Cadence Lynn Coffin, Major John Edward Murray, Major Raymond John Ramos. From Louisiana, Major Skylar Detrice Washington. From Massachusetts, Major Diana May Signap Kabili, Major Edward Joseph Callahan IV, Major Cynthia Ann Hunter. From the State of Maryland, Major J. Sung Wong, Major Ian Scott Konigsdorfer. From the State of Michigan, Major Joseph Allen Dick Wiegand. From the State of Missouri, Major Conley Marcus Bell, Lieutenant Colonel Brent Alexander Connolly, Major Sidney Marie Andrew Hanpa. From the State of Mississippi, Daniel C. McPherson. From the State of North Carolina, Major Dominic Joseph Fiore, Major Joshua Richard Hall, Major Logan Drew Myrick. From the State of New Jersey, Major Jason Ryan DiNapoli, Major Michelle Catherine Lukomsky. From the State of New York, Major Sean Matthew Delancey, Major Ashley Noel Johnson. From the State of Ohio, Captain Arnie Jacob Bussler, Major Rachel Janelle Kennedy, Major Elizabeth Barbara Sewell. From the State of Pennsylvania, Major Juan A. Muniz. From the State of Tennessee, Major Julie Marie Nipper, Major Ethan Thomas Richards. From the State of Texas, Major Ty Shea Lecole Chavis, Major Isaac Jarrell Dixon, Major Timothy Reese Emmons, Major Jared Lewis Gergen, Major Michael John Moline, Major Braden Taylor Thomas, and from the State of Washington, Lieutenant Commander Abigail Joanne Caldwell, Major Nicholas Keith Leslie, Major Ian Wilder Stom. I am satisfied each possesses the necessary qualifications.
Your motion is granted, and the applicants will be admitted.
A group of attorneys from the Wake Forest University School of Law, presented by Dean Andrew Klein.
Dean Klein.
Mr. Chief Justice, and may it please the court, I move the admission of the following attorneys. From the District of Columbia, Mary Catherine Payne Hawes, Emily Catherine Lagan, Catherine Victoria Antoinette Mellinger, Siri Champanthi Swayampu, Cole Thomas Tipton, Matthew Michael Welch. From the State of Georgia, Ashley Sarah Isco. From the State of North Carolina, Law Lamar Armstrong Jr., Law Lamar Armstrong III, Marcy High Armstrong, Catherine Wood Batchelor, Christine Camille Bischoff, Aisha Forte Bolden, Bonita Jordan Brown, Kylie Lynn Hamilton, Eli Nash Harden, Philip Montgomery Jester, Catherine Margaret Kaiser, Daniel Cash Keeney, Marcia Eason Armstrong Keeney, Jay Kyler, Aaron Comerford Miller, Jane Garrity Pettit, Francis Jean Sullivan, Emily Ann Thompson, Emily Stokes Whalen, James Varnado Williams III, John David Wooten IV. From the State of New York, Dylan James Crothers, Jarrell Lamar Rosser, Amber Kirby Talley, Ruth LaShonda Tisdale. From the State of Pennsylvania, Allison Hannah Green. From the State of South Carolina, Meredith Edwards Green, Loretta Lynn Youssef. From the State of Tennessee, Victoria Danielle Dishner Glasscock, Lauren Jacqueline Irwin. From the State of Texas, Ray Ashberg, Kristen Michelle Gurley. From the State of Virginia, Stephen J. Job. I am satisfied each possesses the necessary qualifications.
Your motion is granted and the applicants will be admitted. If all of the applicants will stand, the clerk will administer the oath. But before he does so, I would like to extend each of you a warm welcome as a member of the bar of this court and an officer of the court.
Raise your right hand, please. Do you solemnly swear that as an attorney and as a counselor of this court, you will conduct yourself uprightly and according to law, and that you will support the Constitution of the United States, so help you God?
The Honorable Court is now adjourned until Monday at 10 o'clock.